We've caught up with Jeff McClendon from Bibles for the World, and we're kind of examining the changing situation in India, especially as it applies to having people from the United States going over to assist in mission, assist ministries, and what kinds of the changing circumstances are cause for concern and things to be praying about. Jeff, thanks so much for being with us today on Mission Network News.
Glad to be with you, Ruth. Thank you very much.
A couple of days ago, we saw a story come through from the ACLJ, the American Center for Law and Justice, and it's regarding an American pastor in India who's run into some trouble. Now, we're not really looking at this to get specifically into this story, but kind of looking at the bigger picture, which is as things have changed with the government in India, you know, we've heard you guys expressing some concerns about how that is creating some new normals for ministry. So in light of this story with an American pastor who's been arrested just by virtue of the fact he was attending a conference and answered the question, why are you here? He's now been 3 weeks, I think. Well, not 3 weeks. I'm sorry. He's been several days in jail. So as we look at this story, what's something that really comes to the top that you want people to be praying about?
Well, one of the things certainly is that India by no means is a country that allows for a great deal of freedom in terms of ministry activity. People who want to go to India to do missions work in particular have to recognize the fact that the vast majority of the nation is Hindu or Muslim. And depending upon the area you go to, those ratios change rather dramatically. But in the country overall, roughly 98% of the country happens to adhere to one of those faiths, either Hinduism or Islam. And Christianity is a very significant minority. Roughly 2% is usually the figure that is given for the number of Christians in India. There are pockets, of course, where there are significantly more Christians. The areas where Bibles for the World ministers up in northeastern India, in Manipur state in particular, there are as much as 35 to 40% Christian population there. Because of this, and because of a more significantly militant Hindu presence in many of these states in India, it's just a very, very wise thing to know exactly where you're going and exactly what you're intending to do. But I hate to say it, we have to be very, very careful about how we communicate about what those intents are. One of the things that we've discovered, for example, is that the Indian authorities are very, very good at trolling social media. And if you go on Facebook and say, oh, we're going to go over and save a bunch of souls in India, that's likely to single you out and not get you approved for a visa to even travel to India, or it may get you turned back once you arrive. This particular instance with the pastor who was arrested and is being detained in India, there were a number of circumstances related to his involvement that could have been triggers for this, and not the least of which is that he was carrying a large sum of money to be able to pay for a conference that they intended to have there among Christian pastors and so forth. These kinds of activities are always going to be problematic. And even though he believed that he had done everything according to the letter, it could be just a whim of the person who happens to be checking him through immigration that could single him out for actions on the part of the authorities. And that seems to be what has happened here. But overall, Ruth, I think we've seen an escalation of persecution against Christians, terrible violence against a number of believers, Indian believers, and also people who are coming into the country to do their best to further the work of the gospel there in India.
how can we be praying for you guys as you're making decisions on a regular basis? I mean, you're an active ministry there.
We are an active ministry. One of the things that is very helpful for Bibles for the World is that we were founded in India by Indian citizens. And in our case, Dr. Ruchanga Pudaiti was a very well-known person who worked closely with the government on a number of different issues prior to his founding of the ministry. And, you know, we run 40-plus Christian schools in the area. They are excellent schools, and they perform very, very well on state-mandated testing and so forth. We always are working very closely with the government to make sure that we're in compliance with all of the various regulations, the forms that need to be filled out, registrations that have to be taken care of, and so forth and so on. I think one of the challenges is that there's certainly a recognition that India is the second most populated country in the world. And because of that, and because of its dominant Hindu and Muslim beliefs, it is a bit of a target for Christian ministries who recognize that the Great Commission compels us to reach these people with the gospel. But that doesn't mean necessarily that it's going to be an easy task. And I think for us and for others who choose to minister in India, that everything needs to be bathed in prayer. We have groups that go over periodically for a variety of reasons, to visit the work that we're doing there, to visit their sponsored children and so forth. And we always, always, always bathe every step in prayer because we recognize the challenges that that people could face. Like I say, perhaps even being denied entry into the country and being sent home after the very long journey that it takes to get to India. So, you know, I would say that one of the chief things that we would encourage people to be praying for is for the works that are ongoing there, for the safety of Western workers in particular that are there in India and are experiencing challenges to their work and to their presence on a even a daily basis. I would also encourage people to pray for the believers in India, the people who have come to faith and have discovered the joy of serving Jesus. And this is something that Hindus in particular just cannot understand, and they are violently against the growth of the church in many parts of India.
Anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I think one of the things, again, to be aware of is that there is a significant increase in this kind of violence, even just in these last couple of years. Since about 2016, we've seen more and more incidents take place. This particular incident with the pastor being detained in jail without due process, without access to even the American consul or his attorneys, or being able to communicate with his family. This is an extreme case of this, and we're certainly hoping that it can be resolved quickly. It's my understanding that there has been a petition that has been circulated with over 85,000 people calling for his release, and this is something that a number of agencies in the United States are beginning to take on, and the government of the United States is pursuing this particular case. And we certainly want to pray for Pastor Naren and his family as all of this is playing out here, even today in the news. At this stage of the game, I think that we all recognize that the enemy is at work in a variety of places around the globe, and we encounter the enemy even more so when we're going into those places where darkness has reigned for centuries, and we're trying desperately to see the light of the gospel go forth and for God's kingdom to be expanding into those areas.